Hey, welcome back to Well, That's Interesting. This one is going to make you feel all sorts of good. Edition. Today is episode 186. When tourists stopped feeding macaques, they started using stone tools. And older sister bees teach younger bees how to dance. You heard me. My friends, today we are heading on over to a tiny island with tiny inhabitants and taking a peek into the lives of tiny pollinators. But what researchers have recently discovered about both of them is nothing short of huge. In the first half of the show, I'll have the honor of introducing you to a group of common long-tailed macaques whose scientific name brings me joy. And honestly, there's something about them that doesn't make them common at all. First, their scientific name. I want you to say it with me. I need to share this joy, okay? Are you ready for their name? It's Macaca fascicularis fascicularis. Say it with me now. Macaca fascicularis fascicularis. Well done. Now, these particular macacas who call an island in eastern Thailand home have been observed doing something that has never been seen within this species of macacas before. They're using stone tools to crack open oysters. Yeah. Now, some of you may be saying to yourself, oh, that's kind of cute, but is it really a big deal? Well, great question, my thumbed business goose. If a discovery is on this show, then you know deep down, it certainly fucking is. For you see, not only is this single group the only one of their species to use tools, we know for the first time and have documented for the first time ever how, when, and why a primate would start using tools on their own. We have never seen a primate's eureka moment before. Until now. And it's fucking exciting. We will get into it. Then after the break, I'm gonna share a study with you that when I heard about it, I nearly exploded with happiness and a little gas. My friends, you know, when we're not talking about an earth-shattering discovery about black holes or elephants, we're probably talking about something new about bees. These creatures just never cease to amaze. A University of California San Diego researcher and his colleagues uncovered evidence that social learning is fundamental for honeybees. And what I'm trying to say here without giving away all the fun facts is that bee waggles, those crazy eight formations that they use to tell their hive sisters where all that sweet, sweet nectar is located, that dance is not exclusively innate. To perfect that dance, to do it right and accurately, you have to learn the moves. And it turns out, bees learn the moves from their older sisters. Are you not fucking crying? Well, if you're not yet, you will. We will get into the experiment that proved this. In the meantime, I'm Jill Chacha, and if this is your first time listening, welcome to the flock, my breakdancing business goose. To begin, I'm going to ask you to pick up a few bottles of a decent sunscreen for us, some mosquito repellent, and to charge up the old time machine. When you're all set, please take 3 deep breaths and try not to punch me in the face. For you see, my adorable business goose, we need to head back in time, just a smidge, to early 2020. I know, I am feeling all the feels you are feeling. But here's some good news. We are going on an adventure where we'll be spending some time surrounded by gorgeous scenery and well over 100 long-tailed macaques who will be so damn happy to see us. Now, while you were getting the sunscreen, I was picking up mangoes, cucumbers, and nuts because these just so happen to be their favorites. That's right. We're gonna feed these cuties, which is something of a tradition over at an island called Koh Phed, located in eastern Thailand. Now, for my fellow geographically challenged Americans who may be wondering where Thailand even is, don't worry, I've got you. Please, everyone, imagine China. Fabulous. Point to the middle of the southern border. Okay, great. There, China shares its border with Laos. And beneath Laos is Thailand. Now, to the very south of Thailand is the aptly named Gulf of Thailand, and within its waters, and just off the shoreline, are lots of islands. One of them is Koh Phet. But according to PattayaBoatCharters.com, the one and only, most locals call the island Koh Ling, which translates to Monkey Island. And boy howdy, that's aptly named as well. My friends, it is time. Please head on over to our social media stuffs and tap on today's post. I'll have many screenshots of photos tourists uploaded to Google Maps. There you shall see Monkey Island in all her glory. I am taking a look myself. Now, you'll notice a few things about the place. One, it looks like any island you'd think of in Thailand. It's surrounded by greenery and tropical plants in the distance. But two, the island itself is a little scarce. There's not much vegetation here. And three, holy shit, there are a ton of monkeys. These, there's a lot, I know. These are the famous wild long-tailed macaques of Koh Ling. And as you can tell by these screenshots, they fucking love tourists. They will get up all in your face and boat and things, all the things. They will touch you. Now, they love tourists because those folks feed them. Like you saw, there's not much vegetation here, so the mangoes, cucumbers, and nuts we're bringing are an important staple. So, as we're handing over some sweet, sweet treats to their little paws, researchers, led by Sachinda Malaiva Jitnad, nailed it at Sachinda Malaiva Jitnan at Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok. These researchers are in the distance, behind some rocks, taking notes and recording the behavior of these macaques, as they have done for the past 10 years. They know this group very well, from their body language, family ties, to individual personalities, you name it, they know it. Now, another thing you may have noticed about the photos over at our social media stuffs is that they are timestamped. Some are from 2019, early 2020, and then, yeah, you guessed it. There are no photos from mid-2020 through all of 2021. We know what happened. Humans around the world had to cooperate just for a little fucking bit, and most of them did. People quarantined, which means tourists and even those passionate researchers stayed indoors. This also meant the wild, long-tailed macaques of Koh Ling had to face something they never experienced before, too. An existence without human interaction and support. The next chronological image on our social media stuff comes 2 years later. 2 years, when finally, tourists and researchers alike could resume traveling to the island. Once Sachinda and the gang got the green light in July of 2022, they returned to Koh Ling, and they were welcomed with a sight not only they had never seen, but one primatologist around the world had never seen. Quote, they were surprised to see two adult male common long-tailed macaques using pebbles to break open oyster shells. End quote. From Michael Marshall of NewScientist.com. My friends, look, I'm going to ask you to grab your own version of a favorite snack and have a seat, because I'm about to tell you why this seemingly cute image is actually one hell of a breakthrough. Prior to 2020, no macaca fascicularis had ever been seen using a stone as a tool before. This is completely new behavior for this species. Okay, I can hear you. I could hear you asking, wait a minute, isn't stone tool use kind of like a thing when it comes to primates though, isn't it common? Well, great question, my multi-talented business goose. Turns out, not really. Jonathan Reeves at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany, told New Scientist, quote, "When we think about the broader diversity of primates, stone tool use is really rare. Previously, 5 populations were known to use stone tools. Chimpanzees, bearded capuchins, yellow-breasted capuchins, white-faced capuchins, capuchins are fucking killing it, and Burmese long-tailed macaques, which are closely related to the coped macaques," end quote. So, did that just blow your mind, that number? Prior to seeing those 2 common long-tailed macaques, only 5 other primate species, just 5, have been known to use stone tools. Needless to say, Sashinda and the gang were shitting bricks of happiness after seeing them lift a rock in both hands to about shoulder height and then throwing it at their oyster. It was clumsy work, but in the end, successful. The team knew this was big, but they needed proper documentation. So fast forward to March of 2023, when they returned, gear in hand, to make this discovery an official one. So, here we are, 8 months later. Would the team find this behavior, perhaps among multiple monkeys? Or was it a fluke, isolated to that one sighting? Drumroll, please. Thank you in the back. Quote, "From our observations in March 2023, we found 17 subadult and adult animals performing the behavior, and 15 of 17 were males and mostly solitary while performing the behavior." End quote, from their study titled "Influence of COVID-19 on the Emergence of Stone Tool Use Behavior in a Population of Common Long-Tailed Macaques in Thailand." Whew. Yeah, there you have it, my friends. The behavior, the use of stones to crack open seafood, is totally a thing for the common macaca. Round of applause. Yes. And as you can tell by the title of the study, it's believed this tool use came from, or evolved, one may dare say, during their isolation. The monkeys had to make up for the sudden and drastic drop in food supply. They had to figure out a way to survive. It's believed sometime in those 2 years, a monkey had their eureka moment. It's very 2001. And although Kubrick wasn't available to film exactly when it happened, the fact that this behavior was never seen before 2020, but recorded in 2022 and 2023, is damn close enough. Oh, and by the way, that, in and of itself, is also a first. As so wonderfully summed up by Jonathan Reeves to New Scientist, several other groups of primates use stone tools, but we haven't been able to study the origins of this behavior before. We can observe it, and we get to see it in action, but seldom do we get the chance to see it emerge as a new behavior in a population. End quote. That's fucking crazy. It's exciting stuff. But my favorite part of all of this is this cherry on top. Okay? Yeah, there's a little more. And it adds additional validity to the COVID-19 theory, and it also throws in a little monkey sassiness, and who doesn't want that? Turns out, back in ye olde 2018, a group of captive common macaques in zoos were part of an experiment to see if this species was capable of using tools. Not only were they given the tools, they were given demonstrations. After all was said and done, not one common long-tailed macaque started using the tools, not one. The researchers just assumed this was perhaps due to them not having the mental capacity. Well, thanks to the macaques of Koh Ling, we now have a clearer reason as to why. Quote, "The new data on the wild macaques suggests the issue was incentive, The wild macaques had experienced 2 years of food shortages, giving them a strong motivation to innovate. End quote from NewScientist.com. Y'all, the captive monkeys didn't have to work for their food, and they knew it. Yes, they had the mental capacity. They were like, girl, if I don't have to do this, why should I? Good for fucking them. After the break, an experiment that's going to two-step into your heart, thanks to the work of a few... Let me do that again. Thanks to the work of a few researchers, we now have an understanding that older sisters are paramount to when it comes to learning how to dance. If you're on EB. I'm so excited about this. Please stretch and stay tuned.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
When Johann Rahl received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Rahl lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, a history of getting things wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. We are so back. And my friends, we're gonna dive right the fuck in to a rave. I hope you're hydrated and under 25. If not, I am so terribly sorry, because the rave we're heading to has all the classic hallmarks of a party from the early 2000s. It's practically pitch black inside. It's extremely loud. The floor is uneven. The place is packed wall to wall with bodies, and everyone is all hopped up on sugar. My friends, we are inside a beehive, filled to the brim with the world's favorite pollinator, the honeybee. And unlike the flailings of us humans, the dance moves here are extremely important. I'm talking life and death important. To explain, please join me, will you, over at the Tube of You. Yes, we are going to learn why this is and what exactly a honeybee's intense ass waggle conveys. Yes, we are going to decode their dance. So please, once again, head on over to the Tube of You, and in the search bar, please type, "Honeybees perfect their waggle dances by learning from elders." Once again, that title is "Honeybees perfect their waggle dances by learning from elders," and a video from Science Magazine will pop up. We are going to watch the first minute, and then we're going to shimmy into the incredible experiment which discovered that, yeah, honeybees perfect their waggle by learning from elders. Okay, here we go.
Dancing can be found all over the animal world. Displays of grace and strength are often used to attract mates or intimidate competitors. But in honeybees, the waggle dance is so much more than self-promotion.
Imagine that you're a bee flying out to find a food source, and you keep going there and coming back. If you were to draw a little map of that, you would see this portion, which is mostly straight, going out to the food source, and then curving to come back, going out to this food source, curving to come back. Essentially, that's what the waggle dance is. It's a miniature map of where the bee goes.
The waggle dance contains three critical pieces of information. The direction of the waggle gives the direction of the food source. The duration of the waggle indicates how far away the food is. And the repetition of the whole dance indicates how good the food source is. The more exciting the food source, the more rapidly the bee will repeat its dance.
Okay, there you have it, my limber business goose. These dances tell fellow bee sisters where their nectar can be found. These dances literally prevent starvation, and they're an incredible example of how animals are capable of sharing knowledge. This is fucking impressive. But it gets even better, because I need to tell y'all just how deep this knowledge sharing goes when it comes to bees. Now, usually, get this, the first job of a teen bee is to act as a babysitter. They are literally a nurse inside the hive, taking care of all her younger larva sisters. And if you think this is relatable as a human, please put a pin in it. We will get back to relatability in a second. Now, throughout her 38-day lifespan, yes, you heard that right, only 38 days, she'll have the opportunity to graduate into positions that lead her outside the nest. Roles such as the fantastically named trash bee, clearly my favorite, then onto guard bee, and then finally onto the coveted mature role of forager bee. Now, what happens here is something that fascinates researchers. At this age slash stage, and before she takes her first long flight, she is all up in other foragers' poppin' locks as they return to the hive. And not just any foragers, the older, more experienced ones. For researchers like Professor James Nene of the School of Biological Sciences at the University of California, San Diego, this raises a hell of a lot of questions. Like, what's up with that? Is this her way of learning the proper way to bust a move and communicate direction? If so, what happens if she doesn't have that mentorship? Well, I think we should find out. To do so, my friends, we're heading on over to Kunming, China, where Professor James met up with an adorable group of fellow bee lovers, Shai Hao Dong, Tao Lin, and Ken Tang of the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Together, they came up with a simple yet brilliant experiment to test whether the members of a hive have an impact on the accuracy of the all-important waggle. They started off by collecting thousands of very young honeybees undergoing what's called the purple-eyed pupa stage, and then they placed them into incubators. Now, I thought this would be cute, so I gave purple-eyed pupa stage a Google, and no, it's not cute, guys. It's not. They kind of look like thumbs with big purple eyes. Actually, more like thumbs that have been in the pool for too long with big purple eyes. So if you, too, were curious about that, there you go, and you're welcome. Now, these thumbs were suckled and incubated until they became brand new winged adults and the honeybees we all recognize and love. And here's where it gets interesting. For the experimental group, these bees were placed into colonies of their own. There were no older bees at all. Again, these hives consisted only of these incubated bees of the same age. And if this sounds like a situation similar to the real world or Love Island or some reality TV show, you're not too far off. Put a pin in that thought. Now, for the control group, we had the complete opposite. There were hives with an assortment of ages, and they acted as the baseline to which the experimental hives were compared. Eventually, the bees of both hive types had to forage for nectar and return, where their instinct to shake that ass would begin. And this is where it gets even more interesting. My friends, what do you think? Did the hive full of youths dance their way into sweet, sweet success? No pun intended. How do you think their dances compared to bees of the same age living in an average hive with older sisters? Take a second, think about it. Fabulous. Okay, you know what? I could tell you what happened, but I think we should hear from Professor James himself. What do you think? Yeah, me too. Let's head on back to the Tube of You. It's the same video. Here we go.
We caught them on their first venture out, the first time they were out in the world trying to find flowers. We needed to make sure that we observed their first waggle dances. We gave them an incredible food source, this rich sugar feeder, and they came back and they started to dance. So what we found is that when bees do their first dances in the experimental colonies, they were pointing in different directions on average more than the first dances of control bees that had teachers.
The experimental bees started off making more errors than the control bees, but they were able to correct this over time as they matured. Meanwhile, the control bees had a low level of error from the start that held throughout their lives. The experimental bees also made errors in how they communicated distance. The distance to feeders was always the same for all of the bees, but the experimental bees always danced longer than the control bees.
Okay, my friends, without the resource of an older sister, the experiment bees were disorganized, to put it kindly. At first, they couldn't accurately angle their body to display the correct direction to the sugar water. It took multiple bees, multiple flights, to correct that angle and get the foragers on the right flight path. Eventually, this happened to improve, but astonishingly, the ability to convey distance never did for the entire lifespan of these incubated bees. On average, the experimental bees danced 100 to 200 milliseconds longer than the control group, which doesn't sound like a lot, but a millisecond for a bee is the equivalent of miles for us. So, my drop it like it's hot business goose, you might be wondering why one part of the dance could be corrected, but not the other. You might be wondering, why did these bees continually overshoot their target? Great questions. In fact, Professor James had the same thought. Well, here's where bees become even more relatable. I'm going to dip back into that video on the Tube of You, and we're going to hear Professor James's theory, and quite possibly the future of bee-related studies. Prepare yourself for this.
Now, when we looked at them later in life, we would think maybe they could have corrected themselves. After all, they were watching the dances of other bees, and they were practicing. They never did. They always overshot. So it looked like that was acquired and sort of fixed for the lifetime of the bee.
This led the researchers to consider whether there was a critical learning period for certain tasks in a complex behavior like a waggle dance.
In many languages, we see a kind of sensitive phase. Classically, this has been called imprinting. It's almost as if there's a space inside the brain that is open for a limited period of time to that kind of learning. We know the same thing in many types of songbirds. We even know about this in naked mole rats. So, is there something that once it's set inside the bee brain, that the bee can't really change that? And it looks like the distance encoding is that thing.
The improvements that the experimental bees made in their waggle angle showed that learning some things without teachers is possible. But the persistent errors in their distance encoding suggests that learning this particular skill from experienced dancers is critical. Researchers are now interested in whether errors made in one generation might be passed down to the next.
In many ways, our understanding of animal culture is based upon the teaching and the transmission of this kind of information. So what I would like to know is where learning is involved. What is the actual reason for that?
While this cultural transmission may just make difficult tasks easier to learn, scientists suspect that it could play a larger role helping species or even individual colonies adapt to various and changing environments.
Yes, my friends. Yes, it is very possible that just like you, me, whales, songbirds, and other vertebrates who use language, bees have a certain period in development where language is set. These results provide evidence that social learning is a huge influence in shaping honeybee signaling, just like it does with early communication in vertebrates who also benefit from learning from the elders around them. It's fucking wild. So please, for the necessity of the next generation, dance like everyone is watching. Thank you for listening, rating, subscribing, telling your friends about the macacas or the macaques that started using stone tools. They're probably going to take over if you like give them a few more months alone. And then tell them about older sister bees. I know, it's just so sweet. Okay, I'm gonna pull myself together. A Macarena-sized thanks to the folks over at Airwave Media, the podcast network to which WTI belongs. If you love this show, and you do, you'll love the other podcasts in this family. And please, stay interesting.